Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
A happy Wednesday morning to you. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show, where you never know what kind of a conversation you might stumble upon here. It could be your conversation. If you call me, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. You probably have it on speed dial already, but just in case, 888-914-9149. Cyrus, you know me. I like to start with good news in the morning, don't you? Don't you like to hear good news first thing?
I like the good news segment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you got today?
Well, this is an email that came in just yesterday from a gentleman named Justin. Listen to this. Patrick, I was released from jail today after being found innocent after 402 days incarcerated in a prison in Florida. I grew up Protestant and while in jail, stumbled across an Order of Malta Catholic Bible and ended up reading it four times in a year. During that time, I inherited a radio and stumbled across you on 104.3 FM. During that time, you gave me hope and encouragement for a renewed life. I was able to get a Catechism of the Catholic Church from the jail chaplain and read it front to back. Without finding you, I would have been lost and hopeless. Now, I was released today and my new life begins. I should say, he says, my life begins anew. Thanks to you, I have resolved to stand firm for God, imitating you as Paul says, imitate him as he imitates Christ. I have also come to believe that the Catholic Church is from God and he doesn't want his body, the church, to be wounded by division. After 33 years of life, I feel the power to walk in the imitation of Christ after never being able to find the power before recognizing the Catholic Church. I hope to call you soon. Thank you for reflecting Jesus clearly to me when I needed it most. You are a gift to me, and all good gifts come from the Father. Pray for me to stand firm. Wow.
Wow. Over a year in
jail.
He
was unjustly incarcerated. He was innocent, and thankfully, they found him to be innocent, so it wasn't like he was innocent and he did time for a crime he didn't commit. Apparently, he was released when, he doesn't tell me the details, and that's okay, but he was found innocent and released. But can you imagine spending 402, it's over a year, obviously, 402 days in prison for a crime he didn't commit? But you know what really strikes me most powerfully about this letter, Cyrus, is that I know this is going to sound weird, but if he hadn't gone to jail for a crime he didn't commit, it sounds like he would not have found Christ and he wouldn't have found the Catholic Church. And what an amazing providential act on God's part that he wants this man to have the fullness of the faith. He wants him to come into the church. He wants him to receive the sacraments. And the route that the Lord permitted him to take in order to find this pearl of great price in the Catholic faith is to go to jail for 402 days for a crime he didn't commit. And while he was there, he discovered the treasure of the Catholic Church. That is mind-blowing to me.
I love it. I mean, it's a good reminder that wherever you are right now is where you're supposed to be to get you closer to God.
Well, let me take issue with that. I know what you're saying, but I have a slight disagreement. Because what if you are in a house of prostitution? Or what if you are in a drug dealer's den dealing drugs? You're not supposed to be there. But I think maybe how I could tweak what you're saying is, even if you're there in a place you're not supposed to be, like, you know, being in jail for 402 days when you're not supposed to be in jail because you didn't do the crime, even in the midst of things that shouldn't happen, rightly so, God will still bring good out of evil. He'll still bring something good out of it. So I think maybe the way I would say what you said, and I'm not trying to argue with you, I'm just saying I think there's maybe a slightly different way to say that, and that is that even if you're in the midst of doing something that you shouldn't do or you're in a situation that by rights you shouldn't have to be in, God can still bring good out of that.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
And wow. So Justin, first of all, I'm just amazed and I'm grateful to God that he arranged things the way he did, that you could have a radio in prison. I don't know how common that is. I was up in Bakersfield over the weekend. Shout out to all my Bakersfield friends. And talking to a few people who, unbeknownst to me, I mean, just, of course, I don't know what people do for a living unless they tell me. And three or four of them at that event that I did, they came up to me. And this is separately. There was one husband and wife group or team, I guess, and then a couple other people who are prison guards in the local prison. Apparently, there are a couple different prisons. And, you know, these are just normal, regular folk, happy, smiling people. And I asked a couple of them, well, what's it like to go into prison every day? Because you're seeing like the worst of humanity. And one woman, she said, well, that's true. But also I see a lot of good things as well. And so I asked her, what about being able to listen to Catholic radio? And she said, oh, yeah, there are people in prison who do. They're able to listen to radio. And some of them do listen to relevant radio. So that made me really happy and gave me a lot of hope. You know, if people like Justin can come through a terrible crucible like that, what does God have planned for other people who are in that situation?
Yeah, how easy would it have been for him to use this as an excuse to, like, well, they're treating me like a criminal. I might as well mm-hmm. be a criminal. I'll mm-hmm. play the part that society wants to give me. But instead, he completely does a 180 and... I think it's great. It's a very hopeful story yeah. for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's an amazing story. I agree with you, Cyrus. It's an amazing story. So, Justin, we are so grateful that you took a moment. On the day that you were released, I mean, there are a million and one things you could have been doing, and you decided to take a little bit of time and send a note to us. So we're deeply grateful for that. We wish you well. We wish you all happiness and a smooth and easy life from here on out, God willing. And by all means, if you feel like calling sometime and just discussing on the air with me, I'm sure I'll have a few questions for you that I'd be fascinated to know the answers to. But know that we here are deeply grateful that God has done what he did in your life, in prison of all places. Just amazing. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Ken in Milwaukee. Good morning, Ken.
Patrick, I'd just like to follow up from a call you had yesterday. A lady called in and you gave her some data about the Church of England. She had some questions for people in her family and so forth. And concerning church history, Henry VIII, you know, of course, he was, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes having to account for it, martyring anybody. But when his daughter, who was a Catholic, Mary I, came on the throne, she introduced the Reign of Terror for 5 years, not only against Protestants, but secular people. They called her Bloody Mary, not because she cut her finger in the kitchen, but secular people know the history of the churches. And when young people go off to college, it's not only the biology professors that wash their faith away with evolution. A lot of them will point to the Wars of the Reformation, the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, all of that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And mm-hmm. we as Christians need to have our people know that we've got skeletons in our closet too, and we've repented of them. And just, you do quite a good job with church history, but yesterday you didn't do really a good balanced view to let people know that there was plenty of blood on the Catholics of England during the Reformation time too. So anyway, just a comment, if you have any thoughts on that.
I do. Well, Ken, I appreciate your thoughtfulness on that point, so thank you for that. But I stand by what I said yesterday, because it wasn't my project yesterday to delve into the ample crimes committed by Catholics against Protestants and other people. That wasn't my project. That wasn't the focus of my commentary. And if I had expanded it wider, I certainly could have talked about that. And it is a topic that I have talked about before. For example, the Inquisition, to use one instance. So I don't disagree with your point in general, but it wasn't really appropriate for the conversation I was having yesterday. I didn't get into a lot of different things that were part of the bigger picture. It just wasn't part of what I was focused on. So sure. Those are my thoughts.
Well, good. Hey, I understand. I just thought I'd bring it up. I'm a I'm a non-denominational Christian, and I listen to your program quite often. And
thank you.
You know, we Protestants, Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, our biggest enemies now are not within a wider Christian community, although we have many doctrinal differences.
Mm-hmm.
As we face it, and you often do quite well, you know, we have a real battle on our hands out in the world from all the people left of center, Marxists,
that's
evolutionists,
true,
abortionists, and they're the real enemies. And I see in my community, last comment, young people that leave the church, maybe you know the statistics, how many of them go off to college, and they walk away from the faith because they're not prepared to face what the biology teachers or the history teachers whack them over the head with. So anyway, final comment, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Ken. Call anytime. You're always welcome here. I appreciate your thoughtfulness. Even though, again, as I say, I don't think that your critique is, in this particular instance, that it was applicable, might be a good way to say it, because just to think back to the question that was asked to me, the lady called and asked about, is the Episcopal Church part of the Catholic Church? Because her friend was saying that, well, I'm in the Episcopal Church, I'm therefore part of the Catholic Church. So it required a bit of background, which you heard, to talk about, well, how did the Episcopal Church get going in the form of the Church of England? So although I grant that the sordid history on both sides is fodder for a good conversation, it just wasn't part of the focus of what she asked me. So I'm glad you're at least considering it from my perspective. Anyway, thanks, Ken. I appreciate it. Let's see, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mary now in Dane, Wisconsin. Where in the state of Wisconsin is Dane?
We are a farm community just north of Madison.
Got it. Beautiful countryside over there. I've been there. Not to Dane, but I've been to Madison. Lovely place.
Yes, it is. So I'll start, I have two questions. I'll start with my farm question. So the bishop recently was out visiting farmers and, you know, blessed their tractor and their animals and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we are to just dispose of rosaries and palms in a special way when they've been blessed. How are farmers now supposed to dispose of their tractors?
You can sell a tractor. So the church's prohibition on selling something that's been blessed, it gets to an issue with... It gets to a few things, but one thing in particular from the Bible would be simony. And one form of simony is trafficking in sacred items, selling sacred items. And it goes back to the book of Acts where a magician by the name of Simon, he saw the miracles that Peter and the other apostles were performing, and he wanted in on that action. So he asked them, he says, well, you know, how much would you want me to pay you for you to show me how you do these tricks? And St. Peter rebuked him, and he says, these aren't tricks. This is not magic. This is by the gift and power of God, and it's not for sale. You know, it's not like something we can sell you. This is something that God is doing. So from that incident, it was understood that there would be a prohibition against anything that even appeared to be trafficking in sacred things. Now, that would apply to things like sacred vessels, Bibles, what we would call nowadays things like sacramentals. And so that is what the church is referring to there, but not things like tractors or homes. I mean, I've had my home blessed countless times, and I don't plan to sell it, you know, but God may have other plans for me, who knows. But eventually this house, somebody's going to sell this house, somebody's going to buy this house. And that's not forbidden by the church because it's not a sacramental. It's not set aside for a holy purpose. It's not something that has unique value as something religious. So for that reason, the church sees a difference here between blessing your tractor or blessing my house. Those things are not really covered under the church's prohibition on selling sacred things.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Good distinction.
Okay.
And then my other question, you often talk about angels being spirits.
Right.
So... at church, we have angel statues that look like humans with wings, right?
Right.
And that just doesn't seem right to me when an angel is a spirit.
Interestingly, and I can understand why you would have that ambivalence, interestingly, because angels are pure spirits, we can't see them. There's no way that we could, that you couldn't see an angel in this life, at least, because your senses are incapable of seeing the supernatural realm. They're there, but you just can't see them unless God permits you to see them. So by God's permission, when angels do interact with human beings, they appear to us in a form that we can understand. They appear to us, and biblically speaking, you see them appear in the form of human beings. So you have three angels, which could have been a theophany of the Blessed Trinity. Some theologians see that as part of the three angels appearing to Abraham and Sarah by the terebinths of Mamre. Very interesting story. They just sort of show up, these three strangers, and Abraham, or Abram, he gives them hospitality. And it's at that point that they tell him, a year from now, your wife is going to have a baby. And Sarah, who was listening in the tent, she laughed. And she laughed because it was so outlandish of an idea, because she was so elderly at that point. Like, right, I'm going to have a baby. And that's where the name Isaac comes from, because Isaac, from the Hebrew for laughter, is the connection. So those were angels, and they were talking to Sarah, they were talking to Abraham, but they appeared to them in the form of men. The angel Raphael, whom we see in the book of Tobit, and he wrestles with Tobias, and other angels. There are other instances. In fact, it says in Hebrews that some of you have entertained angels unaware. You know, by showing hospitality to strangers, you actually have entertained angels who appeared to you in human form, and you didn't even realize that they were angels. So I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but there's no need to be concerned, because in Scripture, and of course in the life of the church, angels typically appear to us in human form. So that's why we have statues of them that way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Patrick, for making these connections for me.
Happy to help, Mary. Great talking to you. And now I know where Dane, Wisconsin is, if ever I should pass through that way. Speaking of that, well, I guess we'll transition to that story. I may never pass this way again. Remember that song, Cyrus? Seals and Croft. I've got a little Seals and Croft news for you.
Oh, okay.
On the other side, we'll take a quick break. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. My number is 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
See the curtains hanging in the window.
Man, oh man. This is a good song. Play it a little bit longer, Summer.
Does this take you back?
Yeah. Little light is shining through the window.
Does it ever?
Let me know everything's all right.
Let's wait for the chorus here.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
All right. So, like, everybody my age and older is, like, now right back in 1974 or 75 or whenever this song came out. This is Seals and Crofts. And Jim Seals, he teamed up with Dash Crofts to make that music. We'll play a little bit more, I hope. I hope you've got some more, Cyrus. He passed away at the age of 80. He was a multi-instrumentalist, excellent vocalist, as you heard. They were known for big hits. So that was Summer Breeze, Diamond Girl, We May Never Pass This Way Again. You hear the little toy piano sound effect?
That's not. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
See the curtains hanging.
That's the one.
The window.
Huge radio, AM radio hits. I don't think they play this on FM radio. It's just too popular. So how about the next cut? Do we have Diamond Girl?
Summer breeze. I'm sorry.
We're spinning wax now.
I am spinning wax. I loaded up the wrong one. All right.
Oh, and by the way, I got before you play, I got to tell you. You know what's really mind-bending for me is I would hear these songs from time to time on 93 KHJ, the huge blowtorch AM station that blanketed Southern California, still does. It just so happens to be part of the relevant radio family of stations. And so little did I realize back in the 70s when I was hearing music like this from Seals and Crofts, the one day I would be on that station. So here's Diamond Girl. Another big hit. This is one of their later hits. All right. And also, We May Never Pass This Way Again. I don't know if you have that or not, but that's another big hit. Yeah. All right. I know it's tempting, Cyrus, because it is good music. It is tempting to just sort of, it's kind of like easy listening hour, but we've got work to do. But I just wanted to let you know that he passed away, one of the big figures in music in the 70s. Seals and Daryl George Dash Crofts were Texas natives who had known each other since they were teenagers and previously had been in the Champs before they joined and had a hit single with Tequila.
Sarah just came in and asked if we're trying to sell a greatest hits CD.
I know, it sounds like
this could be yours for
the Time Warner
collection. $9.99.
Yeah.
First CD's free.
All right, so he's survived by his wife Ruby and their three children. May he rest in peace. Now, he was Baha'i. And you may say, but what? Baha'i, the Baha'i faith is a faith that derived from Islam in Iran in the 19th century. And I won't try to explain it, but it is, you know, not a Christian religion. I think, if I'm not mistaken, having years ago done a little bit of background search on these guys, I think he may have actually started out as a baptized Christian. I could be wrong on that, but he became Baha'i. And so in the song Hummingbird, they refer to Baha'u'llah. You'll hear that word in the song Baha'u'llah. And that's referring to the Baha'i concept of God. So if you ever wondered when you heard that song, what is Baha'u'llah? What does that mean exactly? That's what that's referring to. And it was sort of informed by, their music was informed in many ways by their Baha'i faith. Let us continue. Let us go now to Stephanie in Chicago. Good morning, Stephanie. Welcome.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I'm calling because I feel really lost at the moment. My daughter's friend sent me a text message yesterday that my daughter is bisexual and she doesn't want to tell me because she knows that we're religious. And I don't know how to approach this because it hasn't even been a month that she's been released from a mental institution that she had to be put in against her will because she was talking about suicidal thoughts and even tried to like do some cuts on her skin. So now I'm scared to tell her anything because I'm afraid that, you know, they diagnosed her with depression. So I'm afraid that if we say something to her that she'll use this as an excuse to commit suicide.
How old did you say she is?
I don't know what to do.
I don't think you told me, but how old is she?
She's 12. Oh, I'm sorry. She's 13. She just turned 13.
So young. And does she go to public school or Catholic school?
She was going to public, and when we found this out with the, she got institutionalized, that's when we switched her out to Catholic school. But there's only 3 weeks left of school, so for the next year she'll be going to Catholic school. But
good, good. You know. One thing to be aware of, Stephanie, is that I think you can safely attribute this confusion that she has to the indoctrination that's being doled out constantly round the clock at these public schools. It's now in overdrive, and they're just pushing these kids to try to experiment in these directions. So I'm happy to hear that she's out of that public school, and I would encourage you to do whatever you can to keep her out of a public school setting, especially your daughter, given her fragility. So this is not something that I have the tools or the credentials to be able to give you advice, like in the form of, you know, psychiatric advice. I don't have that competence. But there are people, and I'm sure you've now, kind of, if she's been institutionalized for a time, you now know about the whole system of counselors and therapists and things like that. She needs that. I'm sure you know that she needs that. She needs to have not only a counselor or a therapist, but somebody who's sound of mind and not going to try to harm her further by pushing this ideology on her. Now, I don't know in the order of priority what comes first, but it sounds to me like the issue of suicide definitely would be at the front of the list. So do you have the National Suicide Hotline number handy in case you need to call them for her or have her call the number? I'll give it to you if you don't have it.
No, yes, I do. And she's seeing a therapist, and so are her dad and myself. And okay. It's just, I just don't know how to, she knows, we've told her before, you know, being gay or any of the, you know, spectrum of that, you know, it's a sin, but we commit sins, you know, on a daily basis. That's just a different type of sin. So we've told her, you know, that's basically what we've told her on that, because she's brought it up where, you know, are you not going to accept us? No, our job is your parents, and we're your parents. We're going to love you no matter what, and even if you fill in the blanks, that's our job. But I don't know how to. She's gonna get out of. I don't know where to even turn for resources to know how to explain to her why it's a sin. I don't know. I just that's my biggest issue. How do I explain to her that this is not okay? Like,
I understand. Okay, here's what I would recommend. You might have heard me talking yesterday or the day before about a debate. It was a mock debate that I did with Father Mike Schmitz. And the debate was on same-sex marriage. Is it good? Is it not good? Mm-hmm. Now, the broader question, the broader issue, of course, is homosexual activity in itself something that's compatible with the gospel? Now, the answer, as you know, is no. And it would be in a way similar to, it's not exactly the same as heterosexual sin in terms of sexual sin. The distinction between the two is that when it comes to heterosexual sins like fornication, adultery, etc., those at least are, those are natural. They are not against nature. And even though the sins are grave, there's an added gravity when it's a sexual sin that is contrary to nature. And so that's the, you might say, the additional dimension to this bigger picture. So if I were in your situation, Stephanie, what I would do is to really try to speak to her from the heart, love her as you do, show her compassion as you are, and let her know and keep reminding her that God created you out of love. He loves you. He wouldn't have created you if he didn't love you. He wants you to be happy. And he has revealed to us, most completely, of course, in Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, that the plan for our happiness involves doing what's right and avoid doing what's wrong. And it's not merely that it's wrong because the church said it's wrong. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 19, he says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. And so this paradigm, this model of human sexuality, as Jesus himself taught, is it excludes other forms or other combinations like two men or two women or some other combination. the paradigm that God himself established is for a man and a woman together. Now, that doesn't mean that every man is attracted to women or that every woman is attracted to men. It doesn't mean that. But it means that in terms of expressing your love for a friend sexually, it's intended by God to be within marriage between a man and a woman. And for some people, that is not how they are attracted. Most people are, not everybody is. So you can remind her, as you were alluding to this a moment ago, and I'm glad you said it, and that is that God is calling all of us to holiness, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual. And there are different types of temptations and different types of crosses that people in both of those categories will experience. But it doesn't mean that just because you are homosexual that therefore now you have license to just live however you want and act out sexually however you want. Homosexual people don't have that right any more than heterosexual people do. And so because we're called to holiness, we're called to chastity and purity. And even within marriage, of course, there's a chastity that is pertinent to marriage. It involves sexual activity, but it should be chaste. But these are things that over time, as you begin to talk to her, I would really emphasize the love component of it. God loves you. And because he loves you, he wants you to be happy. And because he wants you to be happy, he has revealed to you how, by avoiding certain things and doing certain things, how you can find true happiness. One other thing, from what the experts that I have read say, that it's not uncommon for young girls, especially her age, to go through a phase of confusion where they are genuinely confused about, am I attracted to women or am I attracted to men? Now, maybe most girls don't go through that, but I think a significant minority of them do. So in itself, that's not unusual from what I understand. And it's also transitory, meaning that more often than not, within a certain period of time, a year, 2 years, I guess it depends, that many of these girls, they go through this and then they get solidified in their sexual identity as heterosexual, and those confusions or questions go away. And that may happen here. But obviously the bigger picture looming above all of this is her ideation about suicide. So I think that's how I would begin approaching this. And I mentioned that debate that I did with Father Mike Schmitz. I would put that on. I would put that on the TV and sit down with her, you know, pop some popcorn or get a bowl of chips or whatever you like to snack on, and just watch it together, you, your husband, and your daughter, and just watch this video. Mm-hmm. And let Father Mike Schmitz do the great job he does in really explaining in a loving, pastoral way why that is not the life that the Lord wants us to live, and how people can be chaste. Lastly, I'll refer you to a group called Courage. It is a Catholic organization for people who really do want to live a life of chastity and they're same-sex attracted. And they have many wonderful resources, including a movie that it's a full-length movie that is from the perspective of men and women who are homosexual, who are attracted to members of the same sex. And in their own words, they describe their feelings and emotions and how they began to realize how they felt about this and what they're doing and what God is doing for them to help them to be truly chaste, as heterosexual people should be as well. So their website, Stephanie, jot this down, please, is couragerc.org, couragerc.org. And the movie that you want to zero in on, that's another thing you can watch with your daughter. It's called Desire of the Everlasting Hills. And I suspect this is really going to help her. Now, there are many other resources in terms of books and things, but I don't want to overload you with too many things. So at the couragerc.org website, you'll find other resources and books, things that you could tap into as next steps. But this would be my advice. Start here. Watch that debate. Go to couragerc.org, see that movie there, and begin the dialogue with your daughter. And as I'm sure you already are praying for her, keep praying for her. Keep showing her how much you love her. You'll never turn your back on her. Love and compassion must be at the very forefront of these conversations because she is fragile, as you know. I wish you well, Stephanie, and we will pray in a special way for your family and your daughter in particular. Thank you. Let us now go to, let's go to Lisa in Texas. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Patrick. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
I have, yesterday you mentioned as far as older people, the statistics showing that they're accepting same-sex relationship.
And yes, that was a Gallup poll. For those who don't know what you're referring to, Lisa, that was a Gallup poll that I shared some of the statistics from yesterday, showing that the number of people, according to the poll sampling, the number of Americans who now accept same-sex relationships or same-sex marriage has increased to 72%. It's not just older people, but there was a breakdown about older people and what the statistics look like for them. But generally, it stands now at 72% of the population, according to the poll.
Right. And I think the reason why they, you know, like you mentioned, is because maybe they have a family member that is in a relationship of the same sex, you know, a son, a daughter, et cetera. So I have a daughter myself that she also likes same sex. Mm-hmm. And she's almost 22. She doesn't live at home because precisely I was not accepting that. She did mention to me about it when she was about 18, 19 years old. And I feel for the lady that just called earlier today, because it is very painful to see your loved one wanting to be in a relationship with the same sex. Nevertheless, someone that is wanting to commit suicide because they're confused, you know, she's so young, her daughter. But I still have a relationship with my daughter, not as close as I would want to, because I am, you know, I do tell her I love you constantly. I accept you as my daughter. I just don't accept the relationship that you want to be with. You know, you want to be with somebody else, the same sex. It's just not God's will. And I do remind her constantly, and I think she gets bothered by it. And I said, God doesn't make any mistakes. He took his sweet time with you because he made you perfect in his image. And he loves you so much that he made you extra beautiful, you know, and she's gorgeous. My daughter is beautiful. And I pray a lot because her father passed away when she was a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So it was very difficult for me when she threw this at me, you know, as far as being or wanting to be with the same sex.
Let me interject, and I have to take a break, Lisa. You sound like a very loving mother, and I can only imagine that somewhere, at some level, what you're saying is reaching her. But one of the things I've wondered about, and thank you for your call, one of the things I've wondered about is, especially with the way in which men are so, in such a distorted way, men are portrayed in so many ways on social media, media in general, movies, etc. We hear about toxic masculinity all the time. And I suppose there is such a thing, but generally masculinity itself is deemed to be toxic just because men are masculine and men are different than women. And I've often wondered, and this might be part of what your daughter is going through, if partly because of that and partly because maybe fear of the rape culture, as it's called, fear of getting pregnant, fear of anything that might involve men, that maybe that this relationship with a woman is at some unconscious level safer for a woman who feels like, well, I don't want to go around those men because they're toxic and they're mansplaining all the time, and I can have a close sexual friendship with another woman and I can't get pregnant and I won't get raped, things like that. Now, I realize that those are not, those are not, I don't know, I wouldn't say valid. I would say those are incorrect perceptions. But I've wondered if maybe that might be at a subliminal level why some of these women are seeking out these friendships with other women as a sort of a refuge from what they deem to be toxic masculinity. So I'll leave it at that. That's just a musing of my own. I'm not a professional in that area, so I can't say with any certitude, but that thought has crossed my mind. And we'll keep praying for you and your daughter, Lisa, as we are for all these families who are going through similar situations. Hang in there. Keep praying. I'll be right back.
There ain't no easy way out. I won't play. Hey,
This hour sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
We are back. The number is 888-914-9149. Something for your good to know file. And this is courtesy of Live Action, by the way, liveaction.org. Walmart shareholders reject abortion resolution, even as many companies come out in support of abortion in the face of Roe versus Wade's potential fall. Walmart shareholders recently rejected a resolution dealing with the controversial topic. According to Reuters, Clean Yield Asset Management made a proposal on behalf of activist investor Julie Kalish. The proposal requested for Walmart to issue a report detailing, quote, any known and any potential risks and costs to the company caused by enacted or proposed state policies severely restricting reproductive rights. Clean Yield Asset Management tried to push a similar proposal through last year, which also failed. We view this as a human capital management issue, said Molly Betternay, the director of social research and shareholder advocacy at Clean Yield Asset Management. She said, it really relates to Walmart's ability to provide an equitable and inclusive workplace, which we know Walmart is committed to. And so we really do believe that a report of this nature will help the company continue to aim to be that equitable and inclusive employer that it seems to be. So that's a kind of, you know, we're saying nice things about you because you're going to do the right thing and support abortion, right? Right? Neil Saunders, the managing the managing director. He probably would not appreciate being called a managing dictator. The managing director of Global Data Retail told Business Insider that it was a covert way of trying to get Walmart to take more of a stance on Roe versus Wade. Proxy advisory firm Institutional Shareholder Services likewise encouraged shareholders to vote in favor, claiming, quote, the likelihood that the company's female workforce will be impacted has increased. A representative for Kalish also argued during the virtual meeting that this would be a sound business decision, saying, as an employer in all 50 states, including many where access to reproductive health care is already being restricted and where more restrictions are expected if Roe versus Wade is overturned, Walmart should consider the impact it will have on its workforce and business. Yet, drumroll please, the proposal failed with only 12.9% of the votes cast in favor. The official company response was to call the proposal, and this is a quote, an unnecessary distraction, which would be of little value to shareholders. Amen. I agree with that. Mark Cohen, the director of retail studies at Columbia Business School, said Walmart has a longstanding history to steer clear, very clear, he says, of these kinds of political hot button issues. Any position that they would take in this regard would create conflict, both with customers and associates, inevitably. Smart business practice, if you ask me. If you're there to sell stuff, then sell stuff. Don't get involved in the culture wars. It's going to turn around and bite you. Now, that's my take on it. It doesn't always work that way. But I wanted you to know about that. I don't know how you feel about Walmart. Personally, I like Walmart. I'm cool with it, and I shop there. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to... where are we going to go? Trina in Brussels, Wisconsin. Good morning, Trina.
Good morning. I wanted to give hopefully the lady that called in about her daughter being potentially at least convinced right now that she is bisexual in nature. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give some encouragement. Just a little, slight little tidbit of backstory. My best friend and I, we met in college. I grew up Catholic. She grew up LDS. And when we met, we both had our struggles with faith. But then soon after college, when we decided to stay in our respective, how we were raised, religions, still best friends, though, I found out through phone calls, because we were in separate states, that she, for 3 years, had struggled with trans identity dysphoria very badly, to where she very desperately wanted to transition. I explained to her how I can't really see her as anything but a woman, but if it felt that this was the right decision, I didn't know, but I would be supportive of her. And I didn't quite know how to respond necessarily. But then now, fast forward however many years, she's now almost a year happily married to a man, and the two of them are doing very well together, and she is very comfortable being a woman. She made her own choice, her own decision on her own to stay a woman. She, in fact, called me one day and said, I've decided that I am a daughter of Christ, and if it's good enough for God, it should be good enough for everyone else. She came to that on her own. But the most important thing that happened was that in that conversation, she told me, I wanted to thank you because even though you disagree with me religiously, even though you didn't quite know how to handle certain scenarios, you were there ready to love and accept me no matter what. And that was something that I ended up not feeling from those who were trying to convince me otherwise. And she ended up becoming to the point where she could be mature enough to see, and we, those of us that loved her, just kept praying for her that she would eventually see it, that we couldn't say anything, but she would eventually, through God's graces, see the truth. And it worked. So I just wanted to encourage that woman with her daughter that just be there and be supportive and know that she can always come home. She can always trust in those who truly love her.
Trina, how did you thread the needle between supporting her, which is very important, versus giving support for a potentially, you know, very destructive, not to mention sinful, lifestyle choice? How did you walk that fine line with her?
It honestly was very, very difficult. That was the hardest part. There were a couple of times that we chatted that I said, I just don't know how I feel about it. Maybe I'm just not used to it. I don't know, but I can't lie to you. I have to be honest. I'm struggling myself with this. I don't know how that helps or hurts, but I want to be there for you. I just, you know how I feel about it. And we were able to slowly bridge the gap until I did feel the Holy Spirit in one conversation tell me, you need to call her a he because she just has to hear it once. And I did say that once. And then later on, I said, you know, I didn't feel like I truly believed that. I just felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me that you had to hear it. And I did explain to her at one point, you know, it doesn't feel necessarily like this is the right path. And I told her, before you jumped on my throat, before you got all frustrated, I just want to explain, when I hear you talking about, in my best friend's situation specifically, when I hear you talking about staying a woman or transitioning to becoming a man, it doesn't seem to matter which one you pick. You still sound unhappy. So not that this isn't the right decision. I think this isn't the right decision for you specifically, because I think you deserve to be happy and you just don't seem happy either way, which makes me think maybe there's something else going on and you haven't figured out what the heart of the issue really is.
Maybe what did there's she say when you said that to her? What was her reaction?
She had to think about it for a while. There were several conversations we had over the years that led to a lot of tears. Eventually, she ended up getting a reevaluation psychologically. She was diagnosed with ADHD when she was very little. Later on in her adult years, she decided to get a reevaluation. And that started the transition out of it. She was also in a world at the time that was very pro everything, LGBTQ, all the alphabet, I call it. Yeah. Very, very pro all of that. And so she ended up getting out of that world in from different circumstances and getting back to her family, getting back to different other roots. And she It was a particular something that I was thinking of just a second.
We're getting close on the time, Trina. Unfortunately, I wish there were more time. You sound like an awesome friend, first of all. You're very put together. You're cogent. And I can only imagine that in your conversations that really, that helped her because she had somebody in you, you know, your head is screwed on straight. And it was helpful, I could assume, to her to kind of have another way of looking at reality through your eyes.
And she today speaks out to a lot of others that are also in similar struggles and says, hey, you know, just try to get a different perspective every chance you get, because you would be surprised how happy you can be in the future if you make the right decisions. And so she's always trying to encourage others, which I love.
That is so important right there. Well, I think your comments just now were very encouraging to a lot of people listening. And it's hard to know how many people are struggling with this or their kids are struggling with this, but I'm sure that you just gave them some hope and encouragement right now.
That was my intention, so thank you.
You did it. High five, Trina.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice talking to you. I hope you'll call back. Unfortunately, we've got to take another break, so we'll do that and we'll come back. The number is 888-914-9149. When we come back, I've got some audio I want you to listen to, including some really amazing interactions during a look to me like a congressional hearing that involved a pro-life woman who had some pretty amazing things to say. You're going to hear it when we come back. Plus your phone calls. The number is 888-914-9149. If you're just pulling into the parking lot of your work, don't get out of the car yet. You're not allowed to go to work yet. You got to listen to the next hour. If you can, I'll be right back.